Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan, and I am profoundly grateful that you chose to be with us on this beautiful September 24th morning, 2017. We're going to be talking about why are we here. I'm not going to give you any, you know, definitive answer. Well, maybe I will. But I want you definitely to understand how honored I am that you chose to be with me as we take a look at a meaning in life that is extremely, extremely important. This radio program, as you may well know, and you hear me talk about it all the time, is supported solely and entirely by my sponsors who make this possible with their quarterly, monthly donations, whatever they've signed up for. And our mystery donor right now, we're in our year-end fundraising, is going to match donations. Yes, he is. This is very generous of him and very kind. So he will take your beautiful donation and he will match it. And if you become a sponsor, he will match that, you know, every month or every quarter that you sign up for being a sponsor for. And that is extremely generous. So if you do this, in other words, if you, let's say, sign up for a monthly gift of, let's say, $25, he'll make it $50. And that is something that really helps us pay for airtime and the expenses of our radio, our TV, and everything I do at hospice to sustain my work, our work, to humankind. So I hope you will give it consideration. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see year-end donations. If you click on that, there's a little presentation there for you. I think it's very important about the heart of the mouse. Every year I choose a Zen story that I think is important for all of us, including myself. And I hope that you will, you know, take a look at the heart of the mouse and see what's there for you and maybe become a sponsor. Serve humankind. Do something beyond the pedestrian mentality. It's a very important thing you do. You have no idea the kind of compassion and loving gift that your donations are to people in this world you may never meet. Go take a look. Aspire.org. You will see it there. No problemo. Why are we here? Now, I get this from time to time from people. It's really a lot of fun for me to listen to people to tell me what their definitive definition of why they are here is all about. So this goes on and on and on in people. And for the most part, we miss what it is that is the value of our life. And we're trying to figure it all out. Well, let's get to the questions. First one comes from Gabe. And he does not tell me where he lives. Why, Greg, are we here? It makes no sense to me, especially with our behavior as is, Gabe. Gabe, if you go into why, nothing I would say would satisfy your intellectual capacity, your thirst intellectually. It wouldn't help you to have a reason for living and thinking that that reason will supplement maybe your doubts and fears and questions is preposterous, to say the least. People have wondered why they exist here on this planet, I guess, ever since we arrived here one way or another. And if you start to look at it from the point of view of what makes logical sense, you'll merely come up with a story, your own fiction, your own manufactured ideas about why we are here, and that'll be the end of it. I mean, you know, you could look at it from the sense of a great cruelty that God created people. You know, everybody has to have a God. As long as there is emotionality, there is going to be the emotionality of what is depicted as God. God equates to our emotionality, and we've built our life around our emotionality, so we aren't really fit for the truth of the knowledge that would give us insight into the true purposes of our own existence here on earth. We just don't have that chutzpah. We don't have that energy to do that. So we go on and on and on in our life trying to make meaning. You know, we think that having kids and getting married and having a job and having friends and maybe doing a few nice things that are out there, maybe, you know, do a little donation here and maybe, you know, offer a little help there, will make it suffice, the whole idea of why we are here. But that is not the way. That is not the energy. That has nothing to do with the meaning of this whole thing. So the meaning of life, why are we here? To tell you why we are here borderlines on cruelty, in my opinion, because to tell you that which you cannot understand, you cannot think, you cannot believe in, you cannot compute, would seem to me to be very cruel. And I have taught this for many, many years, 40-some years that I've been a teacher, and I have found it doesn't help anyone to tell them. You have to find out for yourself. You have to live in a manner that reveals the order of your life and the meaning of your livingness. If you don't do that, you will never know why you are here. You will never know the meaning of your life. You will never know that the circumstances of your living are precious and they depict something very powerful in your daily life that would reveal not only meaning and purpose, but something more than that, which is beyond the reasonability of most people. They just can't fathom that. So that's kind of where it's at. And I don't like to tell people, this is why you live. You know, this is the meaning of your existence. Each and every one of us has to find that in our own way. Now, am I copping out here? It may sound like that, but which would you rather have? Me pose the question back to you, or me be the dictator telling you what the meaning of your life is? Which way do you want it? The other way, which is to have it revealed to you in each and every moment of your life, would take patience, loving kindness. You would have to devote your entire life to the whole presence and sake of finding that meaning through standing back and watching, observing, going through everything that you go through without the idea that this is either deserved or undeserved, this is fair or this is not fair, this is right or it's not right. It all depends on you. It all depends on the state of your being and what you want to do with the state of that being. Now, when you are in this predicament of your own life where you're looking for the meaning of it, you will find, Gabe, if you're like most people, you don't have a lot of horsepower for this. You know, there's so many distractions. Football, there's movies, there's gratuitous violence, there's food, there's family, there's friends, there's sex, there's religion. You got all sorts of things in your life that would deter you from finding the ultimate meaning of your own existence. So I can't really sit here and give it to you. You wouldn't believe it anyway. And the other aspect of it is you have karma, as I do. And our karma dictates so very much of what is happening because we are not being punished. We are not being rewarded through karma. We are being revealed. And that is a very important thing, to be revealed through karma. What is it that makes my life what it is? What is it that makes it possible? What is my karma? Looking at it from the premise of that changes everything in our life. So you might want to be a little more maybe meditative and looking at life from a more meditative point of view. If you do, there is the chance of what we call in the work self-realization. That is immense. Gabe, I didn't mean to be evasive here, but it's best that you find out for yourself and have your own direct experience than listen to me. You know, recently at one of my retreats, one of my students is dying, and she'll be leaving her body here very soon. And we all sat there in a retreat, and she opened up for the first time in a long, long time and told the group, listen, you know, I used to listen to Greg. I used to think, you know, some of his stuff was okay, some of it wasn't okay, but everything he's telling you is the truth. She said, it took me coming to this place where I'm about to die before I could really appreciate, understand, and hear what he was talking about. And then she went into a few of the things that I was talking about. She said, it's true, all of it. I've experienced it for myself. And here's what happened, Gabe. They didn't get it. They really didn't. It didn't change them at all. They still think, well, you know, she's dying and she's making this stuff up and blah, blah, blah. It's really. And that's the way they looked at it. And they still didn't get it. So that's why I don't tell you everything. You've got to get it for yourself. And if you do, Gabe, it will be really miraculous in your life. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Next one comes from Jason. He does not tell me where he lives either. It makes no sense to me to be here. Is this God some kind of joker who created us? Jason. Oh, I loved your question. I did. Is God a joker? Oh, God. Jason, I laughed and laughed and laughed at that because, you know, it would appear so. But the joker isn't anything to do with a God. It has to do with the people who made up this crap in the first place about why we are here and how we were created in the image and likeness of the great joker in the sky. It's all an assumption. It's a story. And the sad thing is, Jason, that, you know, there is a sucker born every second and everybody is emotional. And when you get emotional, you need to have somebody in charge of this stuff. We need something to believe in that is a greater emotion than the emotion we can feel. So people make up things. You would probably be very surprised, and so would I, if we knew how important it is for people to believe in their own creation, that it came from a guy in the sky who really did a terrible job with his own creations. I mean, this guy is a screw up from the very beginning. Well, first of all, why would you create mankind? I mean, really, it's never explained. And to do the will of him, people will tell me, well, who is he? Why would you need that? If you're all powerful, if you're a God, you don't need that. You can do it. You're content with yourself. And then to make man in the image and likeness of himself, how vain, how utterly vain, how utterly egotistical. And then this whole creature that he makes is flawed. He's got man disease. He's lonely. He's so lonely. So he creates woman. Second thought. God's second little thought, women. I don't know why you women aren't more pissed off than you are. You're sure you get pissed off at us for leaving the toilet seat up. Why are you not pissed off at God for creating you as a second idea? Why weren't you number one? Why weren't you... You were created in the image and likeness of a woman. And man would be the second thought. Oh, no, no, no. So it gives you pause to think, does it not, about the stupidity of the American public, hell, the world itself. to think that this is all written down in some book that some guy, the real Joker, is writing. And this is all about really controlling the population and people in general. And that's really what it's all about. It's not about the truth, the light, and the love that lives within. It's more about how do we control the masses who are asses, huh? That's what it's all about. So the reason it makes no sense to you is because, evidently, Jason, you're not stupid. Evidently, you're willing to question what goes on emotionally and willing to look at it maybe from another point of view rather than just accepting things blindly because you're all emotional and feel inferior to the challenges of our worldly life, which is exactly what they know about us, the government, religion, all of them. They know you feel inferior. You want something to make you at least as good as others. So what does that constitute? Well, it constitutes an arrogance, a pride, money for sure, your reputation as a person for sure, because you don't want to be an outcast. So, Jason, it makes every sense in the world to the pedestrian mentality to be here and be made by, as you say here, a god. But what kind of nutcase is this guy? And since the very beginning of his quote-unquote creation, it has caused nothing but problems. It stinketh. It's just a mess. And there is no possible way for any of us to turn this around. There just isn't until we are willing to awaken within us. To awaken beyond concept and theory. The whole fact that thought and theory and concept are the only precedents that a person has for being, shall we say, loved, lovable, knowledgeable, whatever, says something. Because the real measure of life is unthinkable. You cannot fathom it with your thoughts and your beliefs and your ideas or your ideals. You can't do it. It's unthinkable. It's inexplicable. So if you want to know the answer to your question, you have to get nonsensical. You have to go into the realm of the inexplicable, the unconscionable, things that happen only in meditation, in inner work. If you don't do that, you have nothing. You'll just go about your living the way you're living now, and that will be enough for you, well, maybe to survive another week or so or whatever, get through this lifetime, but you will never know what a beautiful thing you really are. That what lives within you is so interesting. It is the love, a love that human beings long for but do not believe exists and can't exist as long as they are living in their sensibilities. So that's the honest truth. The Joker is the one who believes in anything that is emotionality. And the more emotional people get, the more they think they're getting real. And that just isn't true. They're not getting real through emotionality. Their emotions only depict their ignorance and their reluctance to be able to sustain the truth that would set them free. I hope you get it, Jason, and I hope I was able to really help you here. Please forgive me. Namaste. Then last question comes from Alex. Now, I think it's a male. I'm going to bet it is. Well, I rarely think of it. Why are we here? What purpose do we serve in this world or in even the universe? At times I give it consideration, but to be honest with you, it seems beyond me, Alex. So you ask me, Alex, You're not doing it yourself, so you ask me. I don't really know how to help you with this because you're so casual about it. But let me say this to you. Everything is in proportion to itself in this lifetime. It's in proportion not only to itself, but then becomes proportional to the environment it's in and to the purpose that it serves. And people generally cannot follow this trend of thinking, or non-thought really is what it is. They can't explore beyond their own logic and reasoning. They can't get the gap, the pause, the spaces that exist between our thoughts. So everything to them is a matter of difficulty. This difficulty doesn't go away because they want it to go away, or they think it should go away, or whatever it is. We give in so quickly to our sensibilities, to our logic and reasoning, to our pathology and our psychology. And so we don't go beyond that because our genetics say, well, if you go beyond that, no one will love you. No one will want to be around you. You'll be left alone all of your life. The thing that plagues humankind more than anything else from knowing the truth that would liberate it is the whole idea of loneliness, that you would be alone without anyone to talk at or be talked at to, that you would not have anyone to emotionally keep you satisfied and comfortable. So you would be a true outcast. And people don't want this. They want to be among groups. Bigger group, the better. Oh, the bigger the group, the more right you are. That's why they have political rallies and big churches, mega churches, as they call them. Because it makes people feel like they belong to something when they don't really belong to anything but the collective unconscious and the pedestrian mentality that surrounds them, enfolds them, and consumes them. And there is nothing I can say or you could say or anyone could say to change any or all of that. That's just the way people are. There are many people who just don't care enough to awaken. This is Earth. This is why we're here. We're here because all of us share in that mentality, the sapien mentality. And there's nothing more really to say about it. When you are ready to leave this mentality, when you have had enough, when you are, as Lhotse said, the author of the Tao, sick of your sickness, that is when things will change. Until then, it's day by day, moment by moment craziness that most of us have, where we do not change any part of our life for the sake of inner awakening. We just go on and on and on, thinking, believing, wanting, surviving, thinking, living, wanting, surviving. And a lot of it has to do with our genetics and our DNA, and that's as far as it goes. And anything that is of truth has to fit the genetic disposition of a person as not to offend their sensibilities, their delicate sensibilities about who and what they are. Everyone wants to have that hope that they're one day going to be entitled, rich enough to do whatever they want, popular enough to have all sorts of adorations, and never worry about ever being rejected or alone again. And that's as far as it goes, my dear one. So, what is the purpose? Why are we here? Strictly for those reasons. Nothing more, nothing less. It is what it is, and I have to get out of here. Thank you for your email, Alex. I deeply appreciate it. If you ever have a comment, a question, something I could help you with, you know what to do. You come to the website at aspire.org. There you can email me through the website. Just go to media and you will see Satsang with Siraj. That be me. And you can email me through there. Any question that's on your mind. I'm honored. I would truly be honored. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.